Podcast.
Following on from the recent podcast I did on mitigating the rising cost of living, this podcast focuses on reducing household costs through home energy efficiency and the help that's available to households, whether that's financial help for fuel bills and renewables, or general advice on improving energy efficiency and reducing fuel costs. And here to talk to me about home energy efficiency is Jackie Westerman, the Council's Project Officer for Home Energy Efficiency, and Brian Barker, Specialist Advisor with Home Energy Scotland. And here they are. Today I'm joined by Jackie and Brian, and I'll get you both to introduce yourselves and tell us what you do in relation to home energy efficiency. So, Jackie, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Hi, Pippa. Thank you. So my name's Jackie Westerman, and I am the Home Energy Efficiency Project Officer. My title gets longer and longer every time. I've worked for the council since mid-December, and I've taken over the role which from a very previously successful team, so I hope I can keep up that success. And I oversee the area-based scheme home efficiency project. So that's my job, very wide-ranging and ever-increasing.
Yeah, hot topic to say the least.
Yes. Yes.
And Brian, how about you?
So yeah, thank you, Pippa. I'm Brian Barker. I'm one of the home energy specialists for Home Energy Scotland. I'm part of the centre that covers the Highlands and Islands, and I work exclusively in Argyll and Bute. And that's providing sort of advice on anything to do with energy use in the home. But sort of on the specialist role, it particularly focuses on properties that are hard to treat and renewables. And the as part of that role, I'm also sort of focused on sort of developing partnerships. So Jackie and I work really closely together because the council is one of the key partners for us in terms of helping people improve their homes.
Lovely. And it is, as I said, a hot topic. One of my recent podcasts was just about the rising cost of living and the pressures that brings to bear. And you know, we were already an area that had high levels of fuel poverty, i.e. the high percentage of people's disposable income that they spend on heating their homes. And that's just going to get worse as we see energy prices go up. So What are the schemes that you're working on right now, Jackie, in terms of providing help to people to deal with that challenge?
Yeah, the main focus of our project at the moment is insulation. The government, the Scottish government, calls it the fabric first. So if we can't, you know, there's no point in throwing more money at heating if we don't keep that heating within our properties. So to look at fabric first means that your house is insulated, your house is warm, and as I say, any heat that you're paying a lot of money for at the moment, is kept within the property. So we can offer various measures. We have a fantastic contractors called BCA Insulation Limited, and they'll survey the property and recommend the measures that would best suit that type of property. We offer grants of anywhere up to £14,000 for energy efficiency. At the moment, we're not just insulation, but that's our main measures at the moment. But things can change. You know, Scottish Government regulations can come in, and we were chatting this morning about, you know, potential special projects, you know, that we can look a wee bit outside the box and help it in other ways if possible. But see, the main thing is the insulation. See, for all this money we're throwing at our heating to keep it inside the property just now.
And who can qualify for that support?
Everybody qualifies. Pardon me, excuse me. People don't believe that it's free. And I think, oh gosh, no, this can't be right. You can't just be giving me, you know, up to the £14,000. There's grants of between £7,000 to £14,000, depending on where you live, depending on your personal circumstances, you know, rural islands, rural locations, depending on your income, depending on, you know, your if there's any illnesses, you know, in the home that require, you know, extra help, then the the grant will go up in increments from there. So very, very few people have to make, you know, a contribution towards their grant, but nobody believes us. Nobody believes us that the money is just there to be had. And that's one thing we'll be looking at going into our financial year runs June to June, strangely enough, which caused me a bit of a head meltdown when I moved over to the job. But so we'll be looking at that into next year, make sure that everybody gets and everybody knows it's available.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Brian, yours is through Home Energy Scotland. That's also a free service. And I mean, it's quite a specialist area, some of this, and not straightforward solutions. What's the ways in which you can help people who are maybe scratching their head going, I'm not sure that this is going to solve my issues?
But in terms of Home Energy Scotland, it's funded by Scottish Government as well. And the basic premise of the service is that wherever anyone is in Scotland, they get the same service, and it's advice for anyone where the property is their main home. So there's no differentiation between sort of owner occupiers, private tenants or social tenants. What's available to those different groups of people varies because the tenure affects eligibility for schemes, the type of house will affect things, and also the sort of personal circumstances. So for the Highlands and Islands Centre, we have a team on the phones in Inverness who will do an initial assessment for someone calling in. They'll go through it's almost like a structured conversation about the house, the occupants within it and their personal circumstances, and then they'll introduce sort of advice that's relevant to that household and also schemes that they could be referred to. So the council's insulation scheme is one of the main ones we refer to in Argyll and Bute. There's also the sort of Warmer Home Scotland scheme, which is a national one, which includes insulation measures and heating, which is for sort of more vulnerable householders. So that tends to be sort of low income families, sort of elderly people with sort of low incomes, but also sort of houses where there's sort of people with disabilities. So there's quite broad ranging criteria on that. And then we also have the Home Energy Scotland loan, which is an interest free loan that owner occupiers who don't meet the criteria for the other schemes can use to sort of fund measures themselves.
And some of your advice, I think, is you get into that sort of assessment of if people are looking to go off of what often here is oil or LPG or something like that, what might work for them, heat pumps, yeah. I don't know if you, ground source pumps, solar, all of those things, I imagine.
Yes, yeah, it's the full range of anything to do with energy in the home. So as Jackie says, the fabric first is the starting point in terms of trying to reduce heat losses. And sometimes that, if you reduce the heat losses, that brings in other options in terms of the heating. But anything you do to the fabric of the house would affect the specification for a heating system. And then there's, I guess, two objectives. Most householders, especially with the current sort of energy crisis, are focused on reducing their bills. And for properties where they don't have access to mains gas, then sort of renewables like sort of heat pumps, either sort of air source or ground source, can make a significant impact on their running costs. And it's something that we are getting more people starting to ask about sort of climate change as an objective in terms of carbon reduction, but the vast majority, the focus is on reducing their bills. And it's in terms of the difference in heating cost. So houses where you don't have access to mains gas and you've maybe got sort of electric storage heating, if you're able to switch to a heat pump, then you could maybe save 35-40% on your energy bills, which makes a massive difference in terms of quality of life for people.
Yeah, really significant difference and really big carbon savings and on some of those schemes as well. And yeah. I mean, Jackie, we've talked about sort of working with individuals, but you also work with the registered social landlords as well on their warm homes project, don't you?
Yes, so we've got a large, there has been a large project going on in Oban, which is coming to an end, and then we'll be looking into next year, which everyone's like, oh, 2023, and I keep having to remind people, no, next year is 2022. Yes, we're looking at a large project in Cowell, Dunoon and Tarbert. We're working in conjunction with the local housing associations. And there's also a smaller but not less important project in Victoria Terrace in Ardrishaig, which will be very much a shopfront is the wrong word, but you know, when you drive through Ardrishaig, it's really going to enhance the look of the village. There's all these projects as well as our area based scheme. So yes, it's been interesting. I used to work for ACUS. It's interesting being on the other side of the coin now, and seeing it from that side. It's very much Argyll and Bute wide. And the complications that brings too, because of ferries not running, ferries being full, ferries just not going for any number of reasons. But as Brian was saying, our contact centre in Inverness covers very much rural, you know, Orkney, Shetland, you know, and Inverness, Highlands and Islands. So we all, it seems to me that all the areas that our contact centre covers have all got the same problems, you know, as the cities do. They've got the opposite problems where they've got, you know, they can't get their lorries in because the roads are congested. We don't have that, but we've got our own problems as well. So it seems to be the contact centre are aware of our geography and the issues that they face.
I think That's the important point that Jackie makes there in terms of the advice team. They have a good understanding of the sort of local geography, but also they're living in the air in sort of Highlands and Islands as well, so understand the challenges that people face day to day. And there's much, it helps the conversations along where you have that, where people get that you understand the situation that they're in, where you can actually empathize with them, because you might have a similar heating system to them, or you might live in a sort of traditional house, something like that, where talking to someone who's maybe based in a sort of large urban area don't necessarily get how some of those challenges work.
No, I think that's right. And having somebody that sort of can empathise, I think, is a big help, isn't it? Because the logistics and the travel is one thing. But yeah, and having an old house myself with sort of all of those issues, it's you know, they do bring their own challenges and things of trying to sort that out. And I think, you know, I spoke to Ally Energy and the CAB and Bute Advice in a recent podcast. And I know you both work with them as well. Yeah. So there's multiple routes into the advice, isn't there? From, you know, people might come in from a range of different perspectives. Some might be looking for the carbon savings, some might be coming from the from the position of low income and things, that I can access the services from all those different directions.
It's a real strength in Argyll and Bute that there's lots of partners that sort of work really closely together, and everyone refers to everyone else in terms of how it works, depending on what people need. And it's something that I think having those common challenges is one of the things that makes that partnership working effective, because it's something that it's the only way you can work is actually by sort of tapping into the connections and contacts and information that others have.
We run our department runs the Energy Efficiency Forum, which is partners from, Brian's included in that. So partners from around Argyll and Bute who have got an interest in energy efficiency, as you say, Pippa, from a carbon point of view, but also from a monetary, you know, point of view, is both are equally as important. And that's something we want to maybe extend out, you know, throughout Argyll and Bute, because there are so many other partners that we've maybe not just quite tapped into yet, or new associations, especially more recently. And yes, it's sharing information and making sure that everybody knows what's available. Because we do, Argyll and Bute Council does wonderful work, you know, with, you know, vouchers to help with heating, vouchers to help with, you know, food banks, etc., etc. But where we feel is, where I personally feel is important, that, you know, it's all well and good, you know, topping up your meter, it's all well and good, you know, cranking, getting another, you know, £50 to help you through the winter. But if that heating's not staying in the house, you know, what's the point in keeping feeding a meter? So it's make sure that we're all, as Brian says, working together, you know, to make sure that you can signpost to different places that can help.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, partnership working is always one of the strengths, I think, in our areas of the geography, sort of leads us to work together to do things, because we have to, I suppose, to some extent. And I mean, one of the things that might be starting to worry people now, Brian, is that, you know, access to fossil fuels, and that arguably is being accelerated by world events just now. What sort of things should people be thinking about in terms of reducing the reliance on fossil fuels, and, you know, what sort of, you know, is there a time scale, or what should people be starting to plan ahead for, and or can they be thinking about now?
I think that the starting point with anything like that is actually just to try and use less of whatever energy you're using as a starter, which for some households, they're just forced into that position because of the cost of energy. And those are, you know, there's sort of different challenges there. But for the sort of households that are more reliant on fossil fuels, I think for ones that are sort of using oil and LPG for heating, then quite often some upgrades to the insulation and a switch to something like a heat pump will reduce their reliance on sort of fossil fuels and also reduce their bills at the same time. For people on mains gas, the running costs of a heat pump compared to a mains gas boiler are fairly similar. So it's the choice is less obvious about when you switch, because it's something that you need to do it in a way that's an affordable and makes sense in terms of the households. So it's the big difference is about whether you're on mains gas or not, because it's the service we provide has been going sort of 13, 14 years now, and there's always been a demand in areas where people aren't on mains gas. But what we've found in the last year and a half, 2 years, that there are more people sort of, you know, sort of Helensburgh, Dunoon, sort of Campbelltown, sort of getting in touch, who have got mains gas heating, who are looking to switch. And it's the starting point is to look at your property as a whole. Are there things you can do with the insulation, with the fabric, to get that right first, and then to look at switching that? And the advice we provide, we've got this sort of the phone advice where that is very detailed, but in terms of the specialist advice, we can go out and do home visits and do a more detailed assessment of a home, where we can actually sort of look at different options for sort of different levels of insulation, different options for heating, and actually calculate what the impact would be on the energy bills for that home, so that when someone's making that decision, they can make it with more confidence. Because if you're going to upgrade your heating and do some work on the insulation, you're probably going to spend the equivalent of buying a new car. And it's something that, you know, you need to do your research, because it's a significant spend. And that's one of the things that people really value about our service, is that the advice is impartial. So it's, we talk about the whole house, it's impartial advice, so that if something's not the right thing for someone to do, then we will tell them that. And, you know, we can talk to them about, well, what, you know, in terms of timing, when would be a good time to do that? So if you've recently upgraded your mains gas boiler, then it's something where you might get a few years use out of that before you make a switch. But if you've got an older boiler, then it's maybe now's the time to make the switch. And it's part of the sort of the benefits of our service, it's about helping people make informed choices. So it's giving people information in a way that is clear and understandable, so that they can actually make a choice that works for them. And everyone will have a different point where they make that switch.
Yeah, I mean, I think as somebody who's used the home energy advice service, I think it is invaluable because it's such a complex area and sort of making those comparisons. So being able to use your years of expertise and that of your colleagues is quite reassuring, I think, for people to do that. And there's so many choices, aren't there? I mean, you've both kind of reiterated several times that importance for people of fabric first and insulation. Is there anything else that people should be thinking about themselves to be making sure they've got in place, you know, just as a sort of starter for 10 to, you know, I suppose basic down to, you know, is it things like new windows and draft exclusion and things like that? Are those things that you'd get people to sort of try and think about first off?
There is basic sort of behavioural advice that's part of our service, and it's because there are some quick wins, for want of a better phrase, in terms of actually sort of making some adjustments to the way you use energy in the house, whether it's changing the settings on the heating system so that it's on at different times, or the thermostat's turned down, or you sort of, it's the advice that gets repeated many times over, but it's amazing how many times you come across people who actually, it's something that they need a little bit of a nudge or a reminder that there's some of these things that can benefit. There are things like that. At the moment, with the way the energy market is, the advice on switching is just stay where you are, because all the energy suppliers, all their prices are at the price cap. So if you try and switch supplier, quite often you'll get put onto a fixed deal, which is more expensive. So there's an element with this that the energy market still hasn't resolved where it is, and everyone's expecting the prices to go up again at the end of September when the next price cap comes in. And so there are, I guess part of it, the advice to people is just prepare yourself for more sort of tough times ahead, because it's energy prices have roughly doubled in the last year and they're going to go up again. And it's a lot of households are going to really struggle. And it's something that we're expecting to see a much larger proportion of our sort of households that we advise this coming year to be sort of struggling more with energy use. And we'll find people contacting us who've never had a need to get advice before suddenly find themselves in that situation where actually they're faced with real tough decisions about sort of their energy use.
I think also, Brian was saying that there are so many hints and tips, for want of a better word, that, you know, turn down your washing machine, you know, to the next setting. And whereas before you might have looked at them and said, well, it's only £20 is a lot of money, but it's only £20 a year over, you know, 12 months. I'll not bother doing that. I'll just throw in another wash. But when you add it all up, the savings come to over £300 a year, which could easily be 1 month's worth of fuel payments. And I think breaking it, you know, when you add them all up, what you could, rather than one here, one here, one here, when you add it all up, it's quite a hefty saving. But maybe as a one-off, doesn't look as if it's maybe worth doing. But certainly, as Brian says, I think now we're going to find, you know, people are going, oh gosh, wait a minute, hang on, I was used to be 150, now it could be as much as 450, you know, a month from September if the cap goes up as much as that again. It is quite terrifying now how much people are paying for their fuel.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it is, I think it's a real worry for a lot of people, and yeah. You know, something we'll certainly be paying a lot of attention to over coming months. But you know, we've only touched briefly, but I mean, it if people do these things, it will also get us a good carbon saving, which is very important as well. Yeah. When we sort of see some of the impacts, you know, we're increasingly sort of seeing that start to affect everyday life as well, in terms of the extremes of weather and what that means for extreme hot and cold and things, is something we need to be aware of. So there is a benefit if we can change our behaviours, like in the way that you describe.
I think one of the things that we're fortunate with is that there's a consistent, in Scotland, there's a consistent approach, and it's been consistent for a long time in terms about sort of trying to move towards sort of low carbon sort of heating. And the sort of government's heating building strategy sort of just re-emphasizes that in terms of trying to improve the energy efficiency rating of all the homes in Scotland and trying to get them to a sort of minimum standard, and then focusing on sort of low carbon heating, which is sort of, you know, generally speaking, is moving towards heat pumps or sort of electric storage heating. But the sort of the modern sort of storage heating where you actually can control it.
I think that's an interesting point, Brian, because people sort of my age and things might have a kind of a memory of storage heaters, which was not a positive one. But some of these things have moved on an awful lot since then, haven't they?
Yeah, it's the up until sort of 3-4 years ago that the sort of technology in storage heaters was, you know, 1960s technology, but now they're completely different. You've got sort of digital controllers. You can dial in a temperature in centigrade. You can set times when you want it to heat the house, and the controllers sort of learn the sort of energy use, so it only draws in the amount of electricity that's needed to heat the house, rather than it being a finger in air and a bit of a guess. It's actually something that's much more sophisticated.
Yeah, no, I think those kind of things are important for people to be aware of and not sort of assume that it's how they might have experienced it previously. And I suppose with the changes possibly coming in, as we expect in autumn, with the further increase in the price cap, we definitely want to get that message across that you were saying at the beginning, Jackie, that there is a lot of help there, and perhaps people don't realise that they qualify as well. And now's the time when we're going into summer to do it before the winter.
To open all our windows to allow the work coming in to do it. Yes, to lose all the heat. But I think we're saying also, again, it's that balance of, you know, carbon savings and energy efficiency. And Brian and I were at a conference a few weeks ago, and one of the main phrases that came out of COP26 were that 2/3 of climate change can be dealt with, for want of a better word, just by behavioural changes. I think that's the thing. It's doing all the things that we know we should be doing, but we maybe don't. It would make a huge difference. And I always mean to write the phrase, stick it in my computer so that I can read it every day and memorise it. But it was, two-thirds could look to start reducing climate change just by everyday behavioural changes, which we know ourselves, but we're maybe not the best at doing it. We should be leading by example.
Yeah, and I think that is coming more foremost in people's minds, of just that as being a real issue. And, you know, I think that's quite compelling, isn't it? Just how much of it sits within our own control.
Absolutely.
As well as saving you money. So it's there's a double whammy in there, and we need that more than ever before. So just before we finish up, maybe just so how best, Jackie, can people get in touch if they want to look at accessing the advice on insulation?
Yep, our Gyle and Bute Council website, or the Home Energy Scotland helpline, which Brian will have to help with the number here. Can put me in the spot for the number, but you can access everything you need through their Gyle and Bute webs, our Gyle and Bute Council website. Yep, or the number, which Brian.
Yeah. So in terms of sort of accessing any of the support, where we refer people to the council in terms of accessing the council scheme, then people can do that by calling us, and that the contact number for the advice team is 0808 808 2282, and you can also contact us through the sort of website, which is homeenergyscotland.org, which there's an online form there that householders can complete, and that will sort of go into the queue for the advice team, and they'll then call the householder back and go through that process in terms of that assessment, and then referrals onwards.
Fabulous. I'll make sure that it's up on our website alongside the podcast so that people don't have to race for their the rewind button and their pencils for that. And thank you both for sharing the work that you do. And I think we'd all say, just if you're in doubt about whether support is available, get in touch, because there's a lot more than you may realise that's
absolutely
available for you.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Thank you both.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So big thank you to Jackie and Brian for sharing details of what help is available and how you can, just some of the ways in which you can start to improve the energy efficiency of your home. And don't forget, a lot more qualify for support than you may think. So if you're in any doubt, please check out the support that's available. So you can find details at the council's website at argyle-bute.gov.uk or at homeenergyscotland.org. So please check out both websites for details of the support that you might be able to qualify for. Bye for now.
Pippa's Podcast.